everybody. Welcome to the October 17th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Currently on 590 The Fan. Keep you posted. Don't email me. What are you talking about? You know. See how it's just an interesting business that we're in. Let's just say that. So, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Ooh, when you come in right out of the gate like that, it's usually pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, the only guy in this room with dual citizenship, that's pretty impressive. Trevor Limestone Limey Phillips, what do you have for us?
All right, so
you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Frank. Everybody is familiar with the TV show South Park, right?
Yes. Yeah. The show with characters I can't understand. I don't know what to say. I hear the word Kenny, and that's it.
Oh, well, my God, Kenny's dead.
Yeah. I don't really know the show that well.
While the new voices on there, they're a lot better and they're a lot easier to understand, and I think you should watch them. But I've been watching the new season. They're on, I think, season 22 now. All right, so it's been going for a long time. And this season, they started with a hashtag called Cancel South Park. And, ooh, man, they are only 3 episodes in. And so far, they have covered school shootings. They have covered...
transgender?
No. They've covered... Transgender was last season. they've covered the sexual, the sexual assault allegations between priests and young boys.
Oh, man. And
those are more than allegations.
Yeah, well, and I watched that one last night. And then the next one was they were making fun of, like, protesters and... All kinds of whiner millennial groups. They're making fun of them. And if anybody has a chance to watch them, I really would recommend watching them.
Why? Because we'll be shocked?
I actually believe that you will be shocked at some of the things that they said. It's been years since South Park has been able to shock me.
Okay.
You know, years.
I'll tell you a story. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
Do you know how to get a nun pregnant?
How to get a nun pregnant? Hold on. Something about the habit?
Dress her up as an altar boy.
Oh! See, there'll be people.
No, I heard that on South Park.
I don't care. Now, there are going to be some Catholics who don't think that's funny.
I'm Catholic.
Let me address the other Catholics.
I'm Catholic.
That's not only funny, sadly, it's true.
But that's what the whole episode is about. And some of the things that are like, it is shocking. It's hilarious, but it is shocking.
Okay.
And
I'm from the South, okay? And in the South, you might not know this, but in the South, very Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that even is depicting Jesus is considered very sacrilegious. My mother got mad because the school, the grade school I was in, showed a movie, and it's an old movie, The Robe, or some Charlton Heston. This is Jesus movie.
Yeah.
And she threw a fit because how dare someone, an actor, act like he's Jesus? That, to her, that was very offensive that somebody was pretending to be Jesus. Well, how are you going to do a movie about Jesus if somebody doesn't play Jesus? So I told Dan years ago, I accidentally stumbled on to South Park. I'm just flipping through the TV. And voices. And I'll never forget this because I watched this and I thought, if anybody had tried to air this even 15 years ago, especially in the South, there'd be all kinds of just, oh my God, mayhem. Here's the episode. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was Jesus and Santa Claus fighting.
I know that episode.
The idea of that is so ridiculous that it was... I was laughing, and I felt like I was going to hell for laughing. But Jesus was duking it out with Santa Claus, and I just thought, what is this show? What kind of cartoon? I'm a Mighty Mouse guy.
Right.
What is this?
I got 5 on Jesus on that one.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
No, yeah, that guy didn't have a chance.
But the new series is just, it is truly shocking. They are not pulling any punches. They are, I mean, how they haven't been canceled after the first couple of seasons, episodes, I don't know because...
Because they're not real people.
But they're taking on... Yeah, but the writers are the creators of the show,
but
the ones who voice them.
It's interesting, if it's a cartoon character, there's nobody to go after.
It's like Family Guy, too.
Yeah, it's not a real
guy
person.
Is very politically incorrect.
They are. They are very politically incorrect, but South Park kind of...
South Park's just filthy.
They destroy everybody. Like, they blow everybody else out of the water when it comes to being politically incorrect.
But that's on Comedy Central,
that
right?
That is on Comedy Central. And I recommend watching it, because the one about the priests and the little boys, I mean, I was disgusted by what they were saying, but I was laughing so hard. I couldn't stop
but
laughing.
But at the same time, it's one way, it's one vehicle to get the message to people that this is a big problem.
Yeah.
There are several ways you can do that. Newscasts, movies like Spotlight about the Boston Archdiocese. But this is another way to just keep it in front of people, which I think is important.
Absolutely. So that's my birth segment.
Comedy Central. I'll have to try to check out.
Yeah, they're on the 22nd season. The new episode, the fourth episode comes out tonight, and it is shocking. That's the only way I can. It's shocking.
This is kind of interesting. I remember the first thing Saturday Night Live did that my reaction was, I cannot believe they just did that, and it was the first season of Saturday Night Live. And I mean, at work the next, some Monday morning, this is how a show is successful. When everybody at work, like Who Shot JR, the next day is talking about it. And here's what it was. It was the Weekend Update, and Chevy Chase was the anchor. And here was the news story. Now, you gotta remember, this was, what was the first, 74 or something?
70
something. Something like that. So this was unheard of that somebody would do this. And he said, well, he says, the post office announced today they're going to issue a new stamp commemorating prostitution. It's a 10-cent stamp, but it's 25 cents if you want to lick it. And I just thought, what? Now, there was no DVR, so I couldn't back it up, but I knew I heard it right. I thought, you got to be kidding me. And that's another show that just, I mean, come on. I'm sure they got all kinds of letters from people who had deaf people in their family. Garrett Morris was in charge. And our top story tonight, for the deaf people, that is hysterical. But you, anything you do, somebody out there is going to have a problem with it.
You remember the cartoon they did, Ace and Gary, the ambiguously gay duo?
I don't. I remember Toonces the cat.
Oh.
Because my boys love Toonces. Toonces would drive a car off a cliff. It's the same thing every episode. He's driving a car and he goes off a cliff. And that's what made it so ridiculously funny. Oh, I know what's going to happen. He's going to drive off a cliff. Sure enough. Ah! And next week he's driving again. He goes off a cliff.
Well, it's like South Park. Doesn't some character die at the end of every episode?
Kenny. Right. He dies pretty much every episode.
But think about it. That's funny.
It is funny.
Well, I mean, how ridiculous that a lead character, I guess that's it, he's dead. Oh, next week he's back again. Oh, and he dies again. It's just so stupid, it's funny. I like things that are so just ridiculous that they're funny. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it. I just really want everybody to watch it.
So what time's it on? You said tonight?
I think it's on tonight at like 9 o'clock.
Okay.
I think on Comedy Central. But if you can find the first three episodes of this new season, please watch them, because you will be shocked.
You know, the other thing that surprised me. I've told you before, I really only play now, and I still play the same video game, Black.
Yes.
That's my game.
Great game.
My game. And the first time I played it, the commanding officer of these Black Ops guys, get in there and get those effing sons of... And I thought, whoa. I didn't know that was in a video game. But it is. And I guess worse on some of the games.
Oh, yeah.
You know about Fortnite now?
I've heard of it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I don't play the new video games. I'm anxious to get a hold of the thing you plug in that's the original Nintendo, Mario Brothers.
That looks really cool.
Yeah, I want to get one of those.
That looks really,
because
really cool.
Because I'm old school, and quite frankly, I don't know how some of these people keep up with all the controls, and you got to have like 15 fingers to fire all the weapons. I don't know how they do it.
You see people on YouTube now, they're making a ton of money going through the video games. They sit there and play video games and record themselves playing the video games.
Well, and you say they make a ton of money. A teeny tiny percentage of them do.
Oh, no, there's now a website, and it's called Twitch, right? And a girl I work with, she does it. And basically, you just set up a camera on you, and then you set up a camera on your computer screen, and you just play video games. And I think she made $230 in 1 week, and it's just from guys online.
Was she playing nude?
No, she wasn't. I mean, I don't know how they... I mean, a lot
of
girls...
I wonder if I played in my underwear and put it up there on the camera, would that get YouTube views?
I don't think that would be a good idea. Right.
You'd probably have to pay to be on YouTube then.
I'd pay $200 a week. Yeah, I'd have to pay them. If you watch it, I'll pay you. I'm glad you mentioned this. Sidebar, Burke segment. Finish the Burke segment, then I'll do it. But your video game thing actually was something I was going to talk about today.
All right.
But we'll finish the Burke. Anybody else for the Burke segment?
No, I do.
This is Tim Woodburn, everybody. He's author of the New York Times bestseller, Bad Mood, Good Mood. Doesn't that sound good, though? Doesn't that sound good?
That's great.
Even if
like
it's not
that.
True, it did sound good.
It'd be cool if you could get on the Today Show
or
something.
Sixth week on the New York Times bestseller list. It's called Bad Mood, Good Mood. Here now is the author of that book, Tim Woodburn. You're welcome.
Oh, they've all read the book.
Oh, man.
They've all read it.
You said you like things that are so ridiculous that they're funny.
Right.
And I have two things for the Berkshire today. One is so ridiculous that it's funny, and the other one a little more serious, but still kind of funny.
Okay.
I had a meeting at Starbucks on Manchester Road earlier this afternoon, and there's a hibachi right behind it, the one of those all-you-can-eat Chinese buffets.
Okay.
So I took my laptop in there to write the news, and there was a table of women that were all speaking in a language that I don't understand.
Asian, maybe?
Asian women, correct. And they were speaking loud, and they were speaking fast, and they were right next to my table, and I mean, it was nonstop. It's kind of like this show. And so these women, you know, and then after about 10 minutes of it, they all start busting out laughing. And I made, and a couple of them made eye contact with me, and I look at them and I go,
like you can understand them.
Exactly. And the woman turns around and she goes, oh, you speak Mandarin? I said, no, I don't. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. I not only speak it, I play the Mandarin.
I said, no, I don't speak it, but I think it's funny because you guys talk so fast. And they look at me, and the woman goes, no, you talk fast. And I go, no, you talk fast. They go, no, you talk fast.
You know what,
so we're arguing over who talks faster.
Do you ever find yourself, like, if you're talking to an Asian person or a Hispanic person, in English, doing it... The way they
in
were.
Their accent.
Yeah, with their accent.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I've caught myself doing that. Like with a Hispanic person. Well, why don't you try to...
I go get pedicures, and I don't talk to them like that, though. But you can tell when they're talking about you, because they sit there looking down, and they go...
That's not fair.
And then the other one goes...
It just sounded like they dropped a silverware.
I
know.
I think Dan would be just as funny on this show as he is now if he just said everything in made-up Chinese.
No.
I think he'd be just as funny.
He'd be funnier, actually.
He should do a show in fake Chinese, just the whole show.
You know that... okay, bonus joke. You know that joke of how do Chinese people decide what the names of their kids are going to be? They throw silverware up in the air, whatever sound it makes. That's the name of the sound. It's not racist. It's funny.
Let's face it, everybody's different, and at Club Fitness, we welcome everybody. We're celebrating the new year with an amazing offer to help you start 2019 off right. Join this week only and get the entire month of January for free. How's that for a jump start on those new year resolutions? Say it with me. New year, new me, January now free. Club Fitness, the right fit for everybody. Hurry into any Club Fitness location by December 31st and get January for free. Learn more at clubfitness.us.
Work before and after school and start each shift with a hug.
Adventure Club is awesome. The teachers are so nice.
Parkway Rockwood Adventure Club is looking for heart-centered staff to bring experiences to life for our students. Call 636-891-MORE to get more than a job.
This is 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com. Every morning beginning at 10, it's the Hollywood Casino Press Box with Frank Cusimano.
If you see Charlie like walking into the station or
lower,
I've been walking like that all my life.
Slower.
Really? I'm like Jim Brown. Take my time, man. You know, Jim Brown used to walk together.
I haven't seen Jim Brown outside of a golf cart in quite some time.
What's your excuse, though, Chuck? It's like Jim Brown's getting hit on a football field. But of course, he's slow to get up. You are a
Dad always says take your time.
Can we stop with the using tuna and Jim Brown in the same conversation?
Also that, yeah.
Jim Brown is a Hall of Fame football player. Charlie played flag football, okay?
Shut down corner.
Not even tackle. He played flag football in an era where nobody played flag football. Like back when you were a kid, like in the 1930s and 40s, no one played flag football.
It's only here on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Crazy European sex.
Best time.
Yes, it is.
Here, only Limey would know.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the November 14th edition of Binion's Playhouse, brought to you by the longest-running advertiser on this show, 23 years and counting, soon to be 24 years, Thompson Price. Kitchens, baths, homes. Thanks to the hundreds of you over the years who have allowed Thompson Price and his people to completely transform your home. See, not just kitchen and bathroom, because when you do that, you actually transform the whole home. We'll talk about them and what they do and a bunch of other stuff. But first,
hey!
At the control board. The Davy Crockett theme starts off, born on the mountaintop of Tennessee. Well, this guy was born in the United States. You say, well, he sure doesn't sound like it. Well, that's because for 19 years, he lived in Great Britain. 10 of those, he was in Birmingham, England. Yes, he is Trevor Limestone Limey Phillips. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. And I would like to personally apologize to Dan for giving him crap for not telling me Norman was on the phone, because I got a texter who told me off for giving you two crap. Apparently, what? You've been in radio longer than I've been alive.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. So man, got spanked a little bit. A little
in my face.
Texting spanking. That's okay. That's okay. You're doing fine. You're entitled to screw stuff up every once in a while. I am so glad that this guy today, when he woke up, didn't decide to get in his car and go northbound or southbound or westbound or even...
Oh, boy!
Bill Cleveland is in the house. Bill, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone, and I'm glad my text went through.
I see what he did there.
In the glass booth, the quarantine room, heir to the Levi Strauss fortune. The Levi Strauss fortune. Dan Levi Strauss in the house with his trouser mount.
And if I only had a brain.
Dan, say hello to your sponsor.
I would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason from Stiefel. And if you're thinking about retiring, call Mark and Jason for a complimentary portfolio review. Stiefel is a member of the SIPC and NYSE. For their phone number and more, go to
markandjason.com.
And I didn't want to throw you under the bus or anything. I just
wanted to let
everybody know that Norman was on the phone, so Frank wouldn't actually go to a commercial or go to Dr. Doug right away, so we could get Norman in. That was it. Yeah.
No, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
You shouldn't have been chastised.
Well,
by
I was.
Someone.
So, you know.
Shake hands and hug each other, and everything's fine. Everything is fine. Well, when they say that somebody wears a couple of different hats, this guy wears about 5 hats. He has like 5 jobs. I'll run through them real quickly. He's in charge of resetting the digital clock in the studio. Not just anybody can do that. It's set for days, not reset, till the master came in and reset it. We have a research department here at 590 like none I've ever seen. Who's in charge of that? This guy. Who does the news? This guy. Who runs the news department? This guy. Who's an author of the number one selling book right now on the New York Times bestseller list? This guy. It's a little bit of an exaggeration, but hey, it sounds good. And he's also something else. That's right. How in the world can a man have a real job as private investigator with all that other stuff? He's almost superhuman. He's Tim Woodburn. Tim, say hi to everybody.
Thank you, Frank. My firm, Gateway Investigations, has fascinating new forensic phone software. We can get into anybody's phone 6 years deep. Any text they've ever sent or deleted. Any photo they've ever sent or deleted. If you think there's some infidelity going on in your world, ask them to show them your phone. And then call me or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net. We'll get to the bottom of it.
All right. A man who loves his job and is giddy. He's so happy. He be Jimenez in charge of security. Bernice is in heaven.
You are so kind, Ian.
Yeah, I think he could do it. Red Boy's asking me if he could hire Tim to look into something. He thinks that a former girlfriend has stolen... What'd she steal?
Cheese!
Stolen some cheese from his refrigerator because she knew her way around the house. Yeah, Tim, you could look into that, couldn't you?
If she took a picture of it on her phone and deleted it, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, there you go. There you go, Red Boy. And how about it for Bruce Limpress and the All-Boy Orchestra?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, before you...
The greatest.
Before you get into talking about Thompson Price and everything, I just wanted to let everyone know that we are in storm mode. Snowmageddon 2018. Okay.
You like doing that, don't you?
I know.
Well, they do make an awfully big deal. You know, you'd think it had never snowed before.
Snowmageddon 2018.
You think it's the first time it's ever snowed here. It's unbelievable.
I have a quick question. So tomorrow, let's say this all happens and we get a bunch of snow.
Snowmageddon 2018.
Can't say the word. S-N-O-W. He's going to hit that every time.
The S word. Will you be sending Tim Woodburn out during the newscast to go and tell us all what it's like to feel like, you know, snow, like reaching down and
snowmageddon.
We won't be doing that until we get on 11.2.
Oh, okay.
We're working on broadcasting on 11.2.
We'll go on the Kelly Road overpass.
You know what's going to happen. You know that they're going to take, and they'll have a female reporter, and she'll have her gloves on, she'll reach down and pick up snow and let it fall out of her hand to show you what snow looks like.
Yeah.
That's some great reporting. Boy, they do it every single time.
It'll stand in front of the big salt, the mound of salt.
Yes, the big distribution point where all the trucks load up. They always have somebody standing in front of a pile of salt. Yeah. And then they also have some stock footage of you see somebody shoveling. So it's the same stuff. We know what that looks like. Just give us the weather, for goodness sakes. Brought to you by Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Homes, 23-plus years, longest-running advertiser that we have. Tom Price is the one who, 2 days ago, I spent quite a bit of time getting educated about magnetic induction heating. And I got some interesting emails from listeners who have this, and apparently it's like the top choice of some of the top chefs in the country is magnetic induction. Now, I had said that when you have a stovetop, it's not electric, it's not gas, it's magnetic induction, that it wasn't hot. Well, it's not. But if you have a pan on it, and the listener called this to my attention, the listener's absolutely right. If you've got a pan or a skillet or something that you fried or boiled something in, that's hot. So it sat on that glass, and it made the glass warm. Now, it's never going to be hot like if a kid puts a hand on it, like a burner would. But, yeah, it'll get warm because the thing that's on it is warm. I watched a tremendous demonstration. I went to YouTube, and I just put in magnetic induction heating. You should do this. They cut a skillet in half. It's half a skillet. They broke an egg. They set it on an induction cooktop. Broken egg, half the egg is on the half skillet, the other half is just on the cooktop. The half of the egg that's just on the cooktop just sits there. It doesn't fry. The one on the skillet does because it requires a utensil, skillet, pot, whatever, to react to the magnetic induction and heat up. Just food thrown down on it is not going to cook. It's pretty amazing stuff. And the reason I mention it is when the time comes that you want to remodel a kitchen, I guess you could have a magnetic induction cooked surface in your bathroom if you wanted to. Who cooks in the bathroom? I don't know. So we're talking kitchen here. But that's one of probably 100 great ideas for your new kitchen to bring it into 2019, because we're almost there. They have so many others. You know, I mentioned to Tom, too. I said, you know, I'll never forget that you were the one 23 years ago who showed me the bathroom mirrors with the TV built into the mirror. It was actually behind the mirror, and the mirror was kind of a two-way. You could see through it to see the TV, but it was still reflective, so you could be shaving and watching TV at the same time. I said, I guess that's even become more sophisticated now with the flat-screen TVs. And he said, no, they don't even use TVs. There's a company that makes a thin panel that's made into the mirror that is essentially a flat-screen TV. It's its own TV. The mirror is a TV monitor. Things like that. You know, heated tile floors and the stuff they do now with the toilet and the bidet built in and the air dryer and the warm water that washes you. It's all interesting and practical. And if you do it right, affordable. And what I mean by that is don't go for the cheapest place to do your bathroom or kitchen. Go for the place where you're going to get the most value. You're going to get the best products and you're going to get the best installation. You know, he also told me there are people now that think they can go online and order cabinets. And then they want to hire somebody like Thompson Price to put them in. And guess what? They're not going to do that. Because they get them, and they get them in the house, and they don't fit. You can't go order cabinets and remodel your kitchen and think that the cabinets you ordered online are going to fit. They're not. This has to be done as custom work, specifically made, built, and installed for your kitchen or bathroom. And the end result is the perfect kitchen and bathroom for your house. You want to know more? Stop in the showroom. It's less than a quarter mile east of Manchester on, I'm sorry, east of 270 on Manchester. And of course, the website, thompsonprice.com.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa.
He's in the house. He's going to take us somewhere interesting or fun or educational or all three. His name is Bill Clevland, and he's brought to you by Window World. Can they even hear me with that music that loud?
I'm yes, they
wondering.
Can hear.
Okay, Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. Give it on up, and let's have a big old pre-Snowmageddon welcome for Bill Clevland.
Yeah. Right.
Hang on a second.
Or I guess we could call it Snow-Nado, like Sharknado.
Snowmageddon 2018.
Hang on a second. I gotta send Trevor a text about that loud music. Hang on a second.
Yeah. Well, a little hot, as we call it. Bill, how are you?
I am well. Good afternoon. So I've known Dan Strauss for like 20 years, so I'm going to just get this out of the way because I know what's going to happen. I am going to share with you a story and then talk just for a few minutes about a destination. It's Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, Dan, just do your stupid joke and let's get that out of the way.
You know what Tulsa spelled backwards is?
Why don't you tell us?
The slut.
All right, thank you. We got that
finished. Funny. That's funny once again for the 50th time.
I know.
50th, huh? 100th. So. So Tulsa, there's a story out of, this is on CBS Market Watch. I saw this today about Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I've seen other cities do this. Tulsa is offering remote workers $10,000 to move to the city of Tulsa.
I saw that.
Whoa. Why?
And so, there's a, I wouldn't call it a catch necessarily, but so here's how the breakdown works. The $10,000, it is a grant. It comes from the city of Tulsa and a couple of other places within that city. It's $2,500 that'll be put towards relocation expenses. You get a $500 per month stipend. And at the end of 12 months, so you have to stay the full 12 months, you get $1,500 in cash. And the
What do you mean remote workers? What does that mean?
So more and more companies are allowing people to work from anywhere. You don't actually have to go into a building to work, and they're trying to get, those people to Tulsa. Because Tulsa, I was just there in, I believe it was March, and it's really neat to see what's happening in that city. It for a while, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot going on in Tulsa, but now as you walk through the streets, you see brand new hotels popping up. You see these new businesses coming into town. And it's really a place where I think a lot of, especially younger people who have that flexibility to just pick up and move and go to a place like this, I think they would really thrive. And I think what they're hoping is that people who are of that age and, people who have that entrepreneurial spirit will stay beyond that 12 months and, open up businesses and things like that. So, if you've never been to Tulsa, for this particular thing, the cost of living is about 8 to 10% lower than the national average. So you can, better quality of life and your money goes a little further. One thing they do note in this story, though, is they say it's the 14th most dangerous city in the United States. And here's what I have to say about that. In St. Louis, we all know that St. Louis is always on these lists. The stats are real, but generally speaking, it's pretty bogus. I mean, I'm kind of a glass half full person. And so I've been to many of these places that are on these lists, whether it's Detroit or St. Louis or whatever. And, I've never had anything happen to me personally. I just think people should not pay as much attention to those rankings as they do.
Can I make a comment about this real quick? Sure. Here's what I think about those stats. Let's take Chicago. Everybody knows that more people get shot and killed in the city of Chicago than any other city. To me, that in itself is not a reason, because let's say that all of that, or most of it, 95% of it, takes place in one little area. Let's say that's like a 5-block area with the crime and the gangs. I'm not going there.
Right.
I'm not going to go there. Same with St. Louis. They make it seem like, oh, you don't want to move anywhere around St. Louis because all of St. Louis is horrible. No. There's a particular part of St. Louis that's, I might not want to go in, but 99% of it is perfectly fine. I think that's probably the case with these other cities.
Absolutely. And so that's just, but there are people who will look at that and go, well, heck no, I'm not going there. It's, one of these. Yeah. So Tulsa's a neat town. One of the things they have is the Woody Guthrie Center. That's downtown. If you're a big fan of music, history of music, or him in general, that's kind of an interesting thing. When I was there last, they had, and you might appreciate this, the handwritten lyrics to Wichita Lineman. That was one of the exhibits, a lot of cool musical exhibits. Marty Stewart, who was a country music artist, had a pretty cool personal collection of things that he had that was on display at the time. They've got a really nice minor league baseball team and stadium. They have one of the things, if you are going to go to Tulsa, they have a series of tunnels that run underneath the town that a lot of people don't know about. And so, like, for example, the Phillips 66 family, Waite and Genevieve Phillips, Waite and his brother, they were the founders of Phillips 66. And so back in the day when, the oil boom was happening in Tulsa, this was a guy who obviously had a ton of money, and you had a lot of questionable people who really wanted to get at him or, could possibly kidnap him or whatever to get some of that oil money. And so what he did was he built some of these tunnels that went underneath Tulsa so that he wouldn't have to go out, among the public, and he could go from place to place and sort of, have a little more safety. And then not only his tunnels, but they have them for businesses and whatever all throughout the city of Tulsa, and Bill, you can take a tour.
Was there snow in these tunnels?
Snowmageddon 2018.
No, I don't think so. But, downtown, walking through all these old historic buildings is pretty neat. And one other thing I'll just mention, we have a handful of really neat, I don't know how you would describe it, just restaurants that are brand new and unique. And it's becoming more of the, I hate the term foodie, but it is becoming a foodie
neat
city.
I like the word neat.
I say that a lot. But so Tulsa, Oklahoma. Oh, and then they have Route 66, obviously, swings through Tulsa, or pretty darn close to it. And so there are two, I love, like, quirky roadside attractions. They have the Blue Whale. I don't know if anybody's seen the Blue Whale. You've probably seen it in National Lampoon's Vacation when they highlight the things to see along the road. It is a gigantic whale. It's just a blue whale.
I've seen it.
And so it's just kind of a fun little, you know, photo op. And
it's
they
a roadside attraction?
Mm-hmm.
You mean like a snow cone machine?
Oh, for God's sake.
Snowmageddon 2018.
Hey, when you mentioned this music museum, you mentioned Marty Stewart's coat. Did they have any of his jackets there?
I don't remember any jackets. They had guitars and some. They probably had some of his jackets.
Marty Stewart is supposed to have the largest collection of, and I don't know how to describe this to people, a guy named Nudie made Nudie suits, Nudie jackets for people like Elvis and Porter Wagner, these sequined showbiz jackets. Marty Stewart has hundreds of these beautiful embroidered jackets. I just wondered if any of those were on display.
I don't remember, but it was a lot of things from his personal collection of stuff that he had, and one of them was the handwritten lyrics to Wichita Lineman. So.
Do you remember the band The Tractors?
Oh yeah,
Boogie yes. Woogie Choo Choo Train. Boogie. They're from Tulsa.
A great song.
Yeah.
Is Garth Brooks from Oklahoma City or Tulsa? One of the. It's one of them. I can't remember. I can never remember which.
I don't.
Could
know.
Be Tulsa.
It is. I know it's Oklahoma, but I don't know what city.
Well, I just made the entire research department stop what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's Tulsa.
Tulsa.
Okay. 56 years
I've been
old.
Through it. I've driven through it. I've never even stopped there. So I don't know anything about it. But, hey, next time if I go through there, maybe I will.
And if you love calzones, I'm a big calzone. There is a restaurant there, a wood-fired pizza restaurant. They make the best calzones I have ever had.
What is a calzone?
So a calzone is like a piece of pizza or maybe two slices of pizza, and you just flip them over on top of each other, and the edges are like, you know, pressed together. So
Have you ever had a hot pocket, Frank?
Yeah, it's essentially like that.
It's basically
a million years ago.
It's basically like a giant half pocket.
You know, like a Hostess, one of those Hostess fruit pies?
That's actually a good description.
Yeah.
It's
just
like
a little
that
bigger,
with
but
pizza and
exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah. Man, they're good. There you go.
And good for you, too.
Yeah.
They go right to your fat roll. They don't go nowhere. They just go right to the fat roll.
I can afford to eat a calzone or two once in a while.
But you can.
I'm Bill Cleveland on the...
Snowmageddon.
No, I didn't say snow.
He didn't say that word.
I didn't say snow. I'm Bill Cleveland on the road and on 590 The Fan.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Sure hope all your fans get home and beat the weather.
No joking around now, but when is all this wintry mix actually going to, like, supposed to hit the St. Louis area?
I'm looking at the weather radar right now, and it's pounding Cape Girardeau. It'll be here in the next hour and a half.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy, my daughter's not a Cape.
I'd like to share with everybody a joke a listener sent me, and I'm not going to do it in the Playhouse because I don't like it. And I just don't like anything about it. It hits real quick. The joke is this. The guy's telling his buddy, he goes, I've spent the last 2 years looking for my wife's killer, but nobody will do it.
We don't go
now,
for
see,
him.
That's like nervous that. Laughter. Yeah, that's nervous laughter. The idea of having your wife killed, that's not funny.
No.
Not funny to me, anyway. Got a hiker... an American guy, he's like 34 years old, he's missing in Mexico, and they showed some of the last pictures he sent to his family, where he was hiking by himself in Mexico, out in the just middle of nowhere.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. And so I saw the story, and I thought, well, I know I'm supposed to feel bad about this, but I have a tough time feeling bad for somebody who, with everything we know about the cartel and what they do to people in Mexico, you go hiking by yourself? Just out in the open nowhere badlands of Mexico. Good luck. I don't get it. I don't get these explorer adventure type people who it's almost like they're testing fate. They want to go to the most dangerous place. It's like climbing those mountains. Well, let's see if I can do this and live through it. Okay. Good luck. GQ magazine. I think it's GQ. I'm pretty sure it is. Has named Serena Williams Woman of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently there's a big, big social media brouhaha about the fact that on the cover, they put the word woman in quotation marks. Serena Williams, Woman of the Year. So now people are going, what'd you put quotation marks around it for? What are you trying to imply that maybe she's not really a woman, that she's really a man? No. If they were trying to do that, they would have put woman ... of the year. They didn't do that. They put it in quotes. It's the guy who wrote designed the cover is an artist, and everything he does, he puts in quotes. It's like his signature thing. That's all it is. But they want to make a big... And by the way, by doing that, now all it makes people do is look at Serena's picture and go, well, you know what? She kind of does look, she could be a man. That's all you're doing. You're starting that fire, if not fueling it. Now, this is directed at to Tim and to Limey. I just read this morning, there's a new study, giftcards.com, has taken a big poll survey, done a big study about what single people spend dating. Now, before I tell you the amount, it says single people spend an average per month. Limey, what do you think per month average you spend dating?
Well, recently I've kind of knocked dating on the head because it got too expensive, but I would say when I was dating...
You're not dating on the head? What does that mean?
I knocked it on the head.
On the bathroom.
Ha ha.
In the bathroom.
No, I'd say easily $400 a month on dating.
Holy crap.
Whoa!
Yeah. $400 a month?
Should have better results $400 a month.
Tim, when you're on the scene and actively dating, what would you say you spend?
About $300 an hour.
He makes his dates by his private detective services. Single people, it says, spend an average. Limestone, you're somebody's good catch. $146 a month.
Wow, man.
On dating.
Okay, I need
to. And that's after they pulled 1,000 single people. Now, it says if you're in a relationship, in other words, it's not a first or second date, you kind of have a relationship, it drops a little bit, not by much, $139 a month. Wow. And then they say married couples spend on going out, you can't really call it a date, $130 a month.
A better question would be, how much do I spend striking out every month? That's probably a bigger number. Way bigger.
I'll check
number.
And see if they have that category.
That's Bill Cleveland territory.
When I go out now,
big
right?
Money.
It'll normally start off at a restaurant, then if it's going well, it might end up at a bar or something. So you think a meal for two people plus drinks, that's easily $100 per date, maybe more. And then, you know, you got 1 week or like maybe a couple of weeks or something. It adds up, you know, it adds up a lot. But from now on, if they're only if the average is $146, I'm going to start going.
You got to dial it back.
Yeah, I'm going to the Dollar Tree and McDonald's from now on.
There you go. Now, there are more rich people in the world and in this country than there've ever been. We got a lot of millionaires, and now it seems like billionaires becoming common. Sometimes I'm blown away when I read something that just confirms how many people have so much money we can't even begin to imagine it. Ferrari has put out a limited edition. It's the Ferrari Monza SP1 and SP2. This car has no windshield and no roof. You know, remember when the original Viper came out? It didn't have a top. It's a plain convertible. If it's not nice weather, you're not going out. Well, this Ferrari has no windshield, like the old race cars used to have. The price tag on this Ferrari is $1.85 million, just under $2 million. They showed this thing off at the Paris Auto Show 3 weeks ago, and Ferrari says they are already... Now, remember, these things haven't hit the market yet. They're only making... They're making 499 of these cars. Now, keep in mind, this is a $2 million car. Sold out!
Wow.
Already sold. All 499 of them.
If you're driving down the highway, wouldn't you get bugs?
That's what I was just thinking. What? We wear goggles? Like, what do you do?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's a carbon fiber car, 810 horsepower, 12-cylinder. Holy mackerel. No windshield and no roof. Just under $2 million. And 500 people have already bought them. This disturbs me a little bit. Remember the shooting at the nightclub in California, the line dancing place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember the sheriff's deputy who ran in, I mean immediately, ran into to where the shots were coming from, and he got killed. Now see, to me, if you want to call somebody a hero, lay it on that guy. He runs right into the fire, and he got killed. His name was Sergeant Ron Helis. So, they had a memorial service, and somebody set up a GoFundMe page. Now, as of 2 days ago, the amount was only $22,000. And what bothers me about that is I go back to the GoFundMe page the kid set up for ingredients for potato salad. And people sent him $50,000. Mm-hmm. Yet this guy, a sheriff who ran in to save lives, $22,000. The country is so screwed up. You know, people out there will throw money at some goofy thing like potato salad ingredients. Save that money for something like this. And this is the guy, by the way, who killed every single person he shot. He had a .45 caliber handgun. Every shot was a kill shot. This guy lost his life, and nobody seems to want to come up with any dough. Speaking of guns, I realize there's some people that don't particularly like this, but I think it's important. I just read this, a great stat. 98% of the mass shootings in this country occurred in gun-free zones. 98% of these shootings take place where there's a sign, no guns allowed. Yet in the last month, two mass shootings were averted when law-abiding citizens pulled out their guns and dropped the shooter, keeping him from killing a bunch of people. But those stories, they don't make the headlines on the evening news. In fact, usually they don't even make the evening news. And one last thing, they just took a big survey of police officers, and over 85% of police officers agree that mass shootings could be either reduced or avoided altogether if we would let legally armed citizens be present at these venues where these things take place. So just something to think about for you drug haters. And, of course, El Chapo is on trial in Brooklyn. This is a fascinating thing to watch. They say they've never had the kind of security they have up there where this guy's on trial. Not only around him, but each of the jurors has round-the-clock protection. They will not release the names of the jury. Can you imagine being on a jury and convicting this guy? Now, they've had two jurors drop out. One of them said it was over anxiety. Here's what I think it is. I think two of the jurors, somebody in their family, can't get to them. They're protected, but they got to somebody in their family and said, hey, you tell your cousin who's on the jury, if El Chapo goes down, we're going to kill your whole family. These people, you don't mess with these people. Well, I don't think I'd want to be on that jury.
No, absolutely not. If somebody asked me to be on El Chapo's jury, I'd be like, nah, I'm all right, buddy. I like having both my legs.
I'd have to find a way to get out of that because they play dirty. This guy is responsible, they said, for up to 60% of the cocaine and the heroin that come into the United States. His cartel, his group, 60%. He's worth $14 billion, El Chapo.
Isn't he the one that he escaped a couple of times?
Too, he escaped three times.
And he's got a smoking hot wife that he hasn't hugged in 2 years. I'd like to be the guy that accidentally hits on her.
Oh.
Oh. Well, you seen anybody?
Oh, man. Hey, honey, you're kind of cute. Who are you? I'm El Chapo's girlfriend. See ya.
Hey, baby, he's not getting out anytime soon. Let's hit the town running.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be the mistake of the century. Ladies, get in here, please.
Ooh, that's nice.
Does your joke have any snow references in it, by chance?
Does it?
No. It doesn't. Okay. No, it doesn't. This guy is... in the hospital, his wife is very, very sick. In fact, she's dying. She's racked with pain. The last couple of days, something has hit her, and she's just, boom, she's going. A doctor comes out in the hall, gets her husband. He says, you need to go in the room. She's not going to make it much longer. So he goes in and sits down on the edge of the bed, and she can barely speak. She's so weak. She's just racked with pain. And she says, honey, I don't want to leave this world without confessing something. In fact, a couple of things to you. He said, okay, go ahead. It'll make you feel better. She said, that $10,000 you had in our house in the safe that went missing, and you know, we called the police, and it was a big deal, and they were trying. She said, I took it. I took the $10,000 for myself, and I spent it to help pay for some elaborate rendezvous with a lover that I have, and he has no money, so I paid for all of our dinners and hotel rooms and stuff. And by the way, I also had an affair with your very best friend, Alex, from work. And, and I'm the one who reported your income tax evasion. You know, those fake deductions. I'm the one that contacted the IRS, and I gave you up to the IRS. I had to tell you all that because I know I'm dying. I don't have long, so those are things I wanted you to know. He says, honey, I know all about all that stuff. She says, you do? He goes, yeah, why do you think I poisoned you?
This is KM Jans, and you're listening to 5-9 and the Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 5-9andthefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Excitement of NBA basketball. Our team will bring you all the action tonight as the Memphis Grizzlies take the floor once again. Now, here's the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Hasseltine.
It is game night in Space City, and the Memphis Grizzlies hit the road for their final game of the calendar year of 2018 as they'll take on their Southwest Division rival. The red-hot Houston Rockets host your Grizzlies tonight at the Toyota Center as the Grizzlies look for a little payback after the Rockets knocked them off in Memphis on December 15th, 105-97. It's part of a 9-win and 10-game streak that the Rockets have been on, led by the red-hot James Harden. Good evening, everyone. Eric Hasseltine alongside Hank McDowell. Very happy to have you along with us. As tonight, the task for the Grizzlies is very simple. Slow down the NBA's hottest players.
Top 25 matchup there, Northwestern and Utah. I'm